We, in a moment, are going to have a special speaker. He's spoken before, but I'm excited to hear from him again. We're going to have Mitch come up in just a moment. But before that, Debbie Key is going to come up and read the passage for us. And I just want to let you guys know there are copies of discussion questions on the corner of that table back there. So make sure to grab those on your way up to Circle Church, or if you have to leave early, grab those on your way out. Questions are good for helping us process and get even more out of the message. So I'm just going to pray a quick blessing. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would anoint Mitch to deliver your word well, that he could remember all that he's prepared, that he could be in tune with what your spirit is doing and the direction, even in the midst of the preparation. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I did forget to mention the workday. So May 14th is the workday, and there's sign-up sheets back there. You can take a look at that. Forgive me for forgetting about that. So.
Yep, it's ready. Okay. Good morning. So I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you care to follow along. This is the English Standard Version. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness much far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Can you hear me? Okay. Praise God. Well, first of all, I want to thank Debbie for the reading. I really appreciate that. And I want to thank Andy for the selection there, some Hebraic Messianic music. And then one other thing that I wasn't expecting, but you'll see a little later, Andy, how God works in strange or mysterious ways. Okay. Now, some of you may not know, I'm Jewish, and went to Hebrew school and got bar mitzvahed and went to the synagogue for many years after that. So sociologically speaking, that allows me to tell a Jewish joke. So there was this 82-year-old rabbi. He finally retires from his synagogue, and he thinks to himself, you know, I always wanted to know what pork tasted like. But he figures it's not a good idea to try it in his hometown. So he gets in his car, he drives 90 miles away to another city, finds a restaurant, goes in, sits down, gets the menu, the waiter comes over, and he tells the waiter, I want to order that suckling pig. About 15 or 20 minutes later, the waiter comes back with the platter, and on it is a suckling pig with a big apple lodged in the mouth of the pig. Well, before he has a chance to eat it, who should walk in but Cy Cohn, the president of his synagogue. Cy walks over to the table, looks at the rabbi, looks at the pig, and immediately the rabbi blurts out, I ordered a baked apple. Will you look how they served it to me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, how many of you people here remember your high school graduation day? I mean, it was an exciting day. Maybe you remember your child's graduation or your grandchild's graduation, if you're old enough. But anyway, it was an exciting day. I was thrilled to be finished with school. But the important thing, the most important thing was after the ceremony was over, the students went up to certain teachers who had these big yellow envelopes. You can guess what was inside those yellow envelopes, the diploma. And it seemed like the cherry on the top of a sundae. It didn't seem like such a big deal. But in reality, a diploma is very important. A diploma is a set of credentials that entitle you to move on to other opportunities like college or maybe the military or maybe certain jobs. So the diploma is a very important set of credentials. Now, today, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I've divided the chapter into three sections. If you're looking at verses 1 through 6, it's dealing with credentials without ink. And if you look at verses 7 through 17, it deals with removing the veil. And then verse 18 is viewing his glory. And it's interesting because Andy didn't see my notes. But isn't that something how God works? I guess there really is the Holy Spirit, huh? It's not a made-up thing. It's not a made-up thing. Okay. Now, before we look at this chapter, it's really imperative on us to look at the very last verse of chapter 2. And somewhere's in here, or I have it written down. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. And Jerry preached from this passage just this past week. But let me read the very last verse of chapter 2. And it says, For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Now, the reason why I mention this verse is because it gives the thrust for chapter 3. You see, what was happening was there were a lot of false teachers running around Asia Minor, and apparently they were getting certifications, they were getting degrees, they were getting diplomas. They think it could have been forgeries or somehow they were deceiving the Jerusalem church, but they were getting all these degrees. And this was upsetting Paul because there was a whole buffet of false teachings out there. You know, you had the Judaizers who were going around saying, well, it's not enough, grace is not enough, you got to get circumcised, you got to keep the dietary laws, you got to do this, you got to do that. So that upset Paul. Then you had the angelic people who were going around saying, well, you can't really worship God directly, you Christians. You know, you got to worship the angels, and the angels will pass the prayer messages up to the Father in heaven. So Paul was furious with that. And then you had the ascetic people. They were going around saying, well, you have to abstain from marriage. You have to abstain from all these foods. You can't enjoy the pleasures of life. And so Paul was upset with them because they're all adding to the simple gospel of grace. And you know how upset Paul was. He must have had smoke coming out of his ears. Now, the interesting thing is Paul could have fought fire with fire. After all, who do you think had the most degrees? It would have been Paul. He had all kinds of training. He would have gone to the famous school of Hillel or Rabbi Shammai, and he had all kinds of the equivalent of PhDs in his day. As a matter of fact, he could have gone to Kinko's and run off a couple of hundred copies of his diplomas and mailed them out to all the churches in Asia Minor if he wanted to. But in reality, he didn't do that. He took a different route. So what he does, look at the passage here, verse 2 and then verse 3. It says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." So the point is, he looked at the lives of the Corinthians, and it's interesting because when we read 1 Corinthians, there were so many problems in the church. There's so many errors they were making. You kind of got this real negative view of the people. You figure, oh, they're really struggling on their faith. But then when you read this, you realize, wait a second. These people had Jesus in their hearts. They had the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit was doing a transformation work. No, they were not perfect. They were far from it. But who here is perfect anyway? So we see that Paul was impressed with the fact that they were allowing Jesus to work inside their heart and change it from the inside out. So obviously they were making a lot of progress. And basically I see this as Paul is boasting about them. Now here's the interesting thing. If Paul was alive today and he was in touch with our Mansfield church, you know, what would he say in his letter about us? And also I was thinking, you know how we have health inspectors that check restaurants out? What if you had spiritual inspectors that check churches out? And I think this church would get an A-plus rating because I think, you know, we preach from the Word of God. We have good, really good anointed worship. We have good prayer going on throughout the church in many ways. We have discipleship for the children, the youth, the adults. We have some outreach that especially Judea has been working on. We support local ministries. We support foreign ministries. So I think the church would get a really good rating. Plus, we even have those circle groups, which I've never seen that before in any other church. We've been doing that for the past 5 years, thanks to Eric. So the thing is, what I see is that there's a fragrance, and Jerry mentioned that last week, the fragrance of the believer. And we talk about that fragrance or that aroma. It's an aroma that leads, that's a aroma of death to those who are perishing, and it's aroma of life to those who are being saved, as Paul would say. So that's very, very important. And let me give you an example of what it can be like to, as believers today, to have an aroma. When I was, before I got saved, my sister Nina got born again like in January 1974. And it took me about 10 or 11 months before I came around to the Lord. I was hard-headed. But she invited me. It was the beginning of February. She said, "Oh, Mitchell, I want you to come to this meeting." And I said, "All right, I'll go to this Campus Crusade for Christ meeting." And I was there, and there must have been 100 people in the room, and the room was brightly lit, and everybody was happy but sober. And that kind of blew me away, because I was used to those going to these parties, you know, where they had the day gold paint, and keg of beer and playing Bob Dylan music, and people kind of have like a moping look about them. That was back in the 70s. Anyway, so I was blown away by those people. Now, they did not necessarily realize it, but they were a letter written without ink to Mitch Schwartz. And this happened to be the first of many instances where God was at work drawing me to the faith. And the same is true here. You all are a testimony for Jesus. So what are some ways that you can get let God empower your credentials for his glory without ink to an even greater degree? Well, let me just take a sip of water here. Mouth's drying out. It's not coffee, it's just water. Well, first of all, it's essential to get filled each day with his presence. You've got to fill your tank, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, one time my tire was flat. My neighbor across the street said, "Oh, Mitch, I'll help you." He had a portable air tank, but what he had to do is he had to hook his portable air tank to a big compressor that he had in his garage and get compressed air into his portable tank. Then he came over across the street with the portable tank and hooked up to my tire and pumped up my tire. So it's very important that each of us get filled each day, because it seemed, to my thinking, the way God constructed us, we have like an air leak in us. We're like a tire with a small nail puncture. As the days go on, you lose the Holy Spirit. So you got to get refilled on a regular basis. Now, if you're already doing that, getting filled on a regular basis, that's great. However, if you want to increase your daily filling of Jesus' presence in your life, you may want to spend a little more time meditating on portions of Scripture. I know back in September, Jake and his wife were showing us some special techniques of meditating on the Lord. And I've been a believer since 1974. I'd never seen this before, but there's always new ways that you can learn to spend time meditating on the Lord, whether imaginative prayer or just maybe meditating on a verse or something. There's always new ideas that come out that other people can share with you. A simple thing to do is you might have a favorite hymn. Maybe there's a favorite stanza. You could be meditating on that stanza of the hymn book or just a passage from Psalms. But afterwards, after you do that, now your tank is filled, and you can ask God to make you available for his purposes for that particular day. It seems pretty simple. As a matter of fact, there was someone who used to come to the church with say, God, give me my marching orders each day. And we can do that too. I forget to get my orders sometimes, and I just go out my merry way. But it's important to try to remember to do that on a regular basis. Now you have to remember, you don't want to force opportunities of service to come your way. Many times God will orchestrate the situations for you. It can be very simple. You walk into Walmart and they have a greeter there who's standing there like this, Anyway, you could walk by and give them a big wave and a smile. They appreciate that. You help make their day. Or maybe you're at the checkout counter and you can ask the cashiers are really busy, but you can ask them, oh, how's your day going? I usually use the automated cashier machines, and it would look a little funny if I went up to the machine and said, how's your day, A simple thing you can do is hold the door open for someone. You'd be surprised how many people will just walk in and let the door slam on the next person. And this is an area, just a simple area, where you can do that too. And also, like, you may have a job where, you're surrounded by some people that get angry, they yell, they argue with each other on a regular basis. Here's where you have an opportunity to be different. You can be gentle with your responses and know that, in turn, this will turn away anger. We know God promises that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Also, sometimes you might be working for a company that's going to make major changes, and a lot of people start grumbling, oh my gosh, they're making all these changes. People are used to, people get, we're habitual creatures, I guess you could say. We want things to stay the same, and as there's a shake-up, people might get upset and grumble. But you can demonstrate an attitude of gratitude. You can say, well, I'm grateful I still have my job, even though I'm getting demoted or something, or have to go to this other building that's 20 miles further from my home or something. Things like that can happen. Now, you may not see it on your watch, but you may be making some lasting impressions on those people in your office. And God can use this for these people later on in their life. You never know. They may be searching for God, and they remember, oh, yeah, I remember that guy, John or Bill or Sarah. She always had a good attitude. And that's a seed that you're planting, and someone else may come along and water that seed and eventually lead that person to Christ. Now, going on to the next section, let God empower your credentials for his glory by removing the veils in your life. So let's take a look at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, now in the ministry of death, carved in letters of stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which is being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? So you have to realize, when you all know the story. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he had this tremendous glow on his face. And it wasn't from any of these modern-day cosmetic commercials that you see, but it was the fact that the Holy Spirit was so embedded in him, he was just radiating, and he had to put on a veil because I think the people were frightened. And people just couldn't look at him. Now, Paul goes on to say that the glory of the Old Covenant was passing away. And Paul applies this concept to the fact that the Jewish people who had access to the oracles of God, the Torah, were spiritually blind. There was a spiritual veil over the eyes of the people of Israel in regards to God's ultimate plan. So the embedded gospel message is still invisible to the average Jewish person, even to this day. And, I can speak from experience. I went to the synagogue from age 5 to, 21, 22, and the message of Christ, it's there, but it's veiled. I know from personal experience how true that is. Now, here's the thing. There can be various types of veils that can prevent a believer from seeing all that God has to offer. And God wants to help you remove those veils. As an example, God has made many promises to mankind. And many of these promises can be veiled, and we never see them. There's a man by the name of Herbert Locklear who did a study, and he says there are 7,147 promises that God has made to God, that God has made to man. And then there's another man by the name of Storms who claims there were 7,487 promises for mankind. Now, the thing is, I don't know how many there really are, but if you think about it, if you claimed one promise a day times 365, it would take you about 20 years to claim all these promises. So I got a lot of work to do myself. So the point is that God's promises are veiled, and it takes some time to dig them out. To list just a few, God promises to strengthen you. He promises to give you rest. He promises always to be with you. So as you unveil the promises, you'll see many ways that God really cares for you, and that's important. Now, how many here want a relationship with God to keep on improving? You want your relationship to keep on improving? I know I do, right? We all. So you can do that by asking him to unveil some of his promises to you. Now, another common veil that exists in the minds of many is that God is too busy with the important items. God can't spend time worrying, being concerned about my little problem with my shoe or something, or my little problem with my seat in my car. He's got too many important things. I don't think too many people have a problem here, but I've heard Christians say, God's too busy. He can't be involved with little stuff. But that's a lie from the enemy. He really cares for each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that God's concerned about the little sparrows. And so if he's concerned about the little sparrows, he's certainly concerned about every aspect of our lives. Now, the enemy has other ways to veil the truth of scripture to you. Another veil possibly is in the realm of God-given gifts. In sermons that Robert gave last year, he pointed out that we can be receiving giftings from all three persons of the Trinity. And there could be a veil here that's preventing you from seeing all of the gifts that you have. Even if you are functioning in one or two of the gifts, perhaps there's another one or two additional gifts that need to be revealed to you. Sometimes it can take another person to see or recognize the gifting that you have. Now, this happened to me a few years ago. I was going to the community Bible study program every week on Thursday nights. And a couple of years into the program, the teaching director said, "Mitch, I think you would be good to work with the children, if you can work with the children's ministry." And I thought about it, and I wound up getting involved with the children's ministry. Now, you have to understand that you can't push someone into a ministry. After all, it needs to come from the Lord. But sometimes God can be using you to help open the eyes of someone else, and so you can point out that they could be of service to God in a certain area, and it may touch their heart and allow them to consider what you're saying, and they end up going into that ministry. Now, as you grow in the Lord, I believe that various veils will come off, and your spiritual vision will keep on improving. Now, I've only scratched the surface in regards to veils that need to come off. Now, let us move on to section 3. Let God empower your credentials for his glory by viewing his glory. And it was kind of neat what Andy was sharing about a vision and the song we sang. So I get goosebumps. I got goosebumps when we were singing that. It was pretty amazing. Now, if we look at verse 18, you sure you didn't check my notes. No, you didn't send a spy over. Huh? You didn't have a hacker in my computer or something. Oh, shucks. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What's interesting is that Paul is saying that we can have an intimate and unobstructed view of God. And how amazing is that? Because you have to realize Paul grew up in Judaism, and only the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies and kind of had an unobstructed view of the ark. And here he's saying that each believer is like a high priest. You can go into the Holy of Holies every day. You know, you don't have to offer up the blood of a bull and a goat to be clean to go before God. You don't have to worry about dropping dead in God's presence. Like, you know, that's what Paul grew up with. So this is pretty dramatic, pretty radical event that took place in Paul's life, where he realized he had this unobstructed, intimate view of God every day of the year. It was amazing, really. But the thing, too, to realize, back then, the mirrors were made out of highly polished metal. And if you've ever looked at your face in highly polished metal, it doesn't compare to the reflections that we get in a modern-day mirror. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. When he's saying we see the unobstructed, intimate view of God, it was a limited amount of glory that you saw. The great glory we see when we go to heaven. So you just got to kind of keep that in mind. But it is a glorious experience, especially when we're singing that song. It was wonderful. But just amazing how it'll be when we get to heaven, how powerful the glory can be there. Now, when we share with others how God is providing for our needs, whether they're financial needs, physical needs, or sometimes someone just needs to be comforted, we can find that to be a glorious experience for ourselves and for the person who shared. As a matter of fact, last Sunday, Laura was sharing how the washing machine broke down and Eric had to go to the laundromat. You out there? With the glass, it's hard to see you. Was it a couple hours at the laundromat? But then God provided a washing machine, right, free of charge, and you got to hook it up before you went away on the mission trip. And it was just a glorious experience for Laura to share, and everyone in the circle group was gloriously blessed by hearing that story. Just a simple story like that can spread the glory of God to others. Now remember, there's an enemy out there who's always trying to divert your love and devotion to the Lord. He doesn't want you to testify as to what God has done for you. Basically, he wants to shut your mouth. I know I've experienced that. Sometimes I want to share something, and I just can't get the words out. Sometimes it's just, my personality, my temperament, and other times the enemy just finds ways to shut you up. That once happened to me on an airplane. I was flying back from Florida. This goes back somewhere in the 90s. No, it was in the 80s. And I was talking to this man. I was talking to him about the Lord. He was Jewish, and we were talking. And I was going to say something more, and out of the blue, suddenly his wife, who had been quiet the whole time, she leans over her husband, and she asked me a question about teeth. She heard I was a dentist. And after she did that, she leaned back, and she was content, and all of a sudden I lost my whole train of thought. And then I realized, like a year or two later, I said, oh, look what the enemy did. Here I was sharing something wonderful, and he had a way of using the wife, and she was a nice lady and everything, I had nothing against her, but she was an instrument that the enemy used and blocked what else I wanted to say. So, but I'm just saying the enemy has his ways of working. He's very wise. You got to watch for his tricks. And of course, the enemy will distract you. And you notice many times you try to get into your prayer time and the phone might ring or the doorbell will ring or something will come along and try to obstruct your time of worship. So we have to be careful. Because I know when this happens, you end up having to refocus. And I was thinking, and here I have in my notes, that you could take steps to avoid getting distracted by the enemy. Maybe the night before you might pray, Lord, in the morning, help me, Lord, not to get, to stay on focus, help me not to get distracted. There's little things you could do the night before to help get ready. Because the important thing is, in order to experience God's glory, the more we soak and marinate in the Lord, the more glorious the experience will be. And You want to allow God to keep on enhancing your gazing at his glory. After all, when you get to heaven, you're going to be doing a lot of that. Now, in conclusion, I started off by talking about my high school diplomas and how it served as an important credential. Then we saw how Paul raved about the Corinthians and how they were a set of credentials for Jesus. All of you have been undergoing a spiritual transformation process as Jesus is at work in your lives. Each one of you is a letter that reveals Jesus to people that you come to contact with. You are a very important set of credentials that God wants to use on a daily basis. So you want to make good use of this assignment. Then we saw how there was a veil over the Torah, and this veil is still present today, keeping the people of Israel from seeing the truth. And when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Each believer has a set of veils that God wants to remove from your lives. As you ask God to show you those veils and how to go about removing them, your credentials will shine even more. Then we saw how God's glory is available for us to see today. This is a very precious gift that God has given to each born-again believer. Do not take it for granted. Come to the Father every day in the name of Jesus and behold God's glory. Are you up for the task? And you are, because remember, God wants to empower your credentials for his glory. Amen. So here at Grace Fellowship Church, we have Sunday school, and we have the children, and we have circle church for the adults. We have four or five circle church groups today. If you're new and you have never been to one, you're certainly welcome to come to one of the circle churches. Perhaps Eric or Judea or Robert could, some people here could assist you to where to go. They're in different rooms of the church. So I'll be asking you to stand now. We'll give a benediction here. Okay. So go in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be the letter God wants you to be. Shine for the Lord as you remove those veils. Behold God's glory day in and day out. May the God of peace be with you. Amen. Ooh. Well, that's a relief.
Great job.
Well, thanks, thanks.
Is your mic off?
No. Yeah, let me. Yeah. I know, yeah.